Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. Again, what a blessing it is just to be assembled together in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 12, Mark chapter 12, be reading verse 41 down to verse 44. The month of June has been our Faith Promise Missions Emphasis Month. And so all month long, we've been emphasizing missions and stewardship. I think they go hand in hand. And just knowing what God would have us to do with our stewardship. And part of that is supporting missions. Part of that is giving as God would have us to give in so many different ways. And so all month long, we've been preaching and teaching. And what a blessing it is to have the peace of God and knowing that I'm doing exactly what God would have me to do when it comes to tithes and offerings and missions and serving the Lord. Just there's no better place to be than in the will of God. Once you know you're in the will of God, listen to me, it doesn't matter what else is going on because you're in the hands of an almighty creator God who can watch over you, protect you, and take care of you all at the same time. And we just praise the Lord for that. Well, stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 41 down to verse 44. The Lord Jesus here teaches his disciples about a poor widow's mites. A poor widow's giving of her mites, which mites would be somewhat the same as pennies. And he talks about here her mites, which make up a farthing. It would be like five pennies make up a nickel. And so that's about the amount that we're looking at that he's talking about here. And so let's read here, Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she, of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, thank you, Lord, for loving us. And I thank you, Lord, for first and foremost salvation, as you gave your only begotten Son to give of his own life, to shed his own blood on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago, to be able to make available a free gift of everlasting life. What a tremendous gift and a blessing that is to all who receive him. Thank you for this opportunity to be in church today. And Lord, everyone here has taken advantage of their opportunity and they have assembled here to worship you. I pray, God, that you would help them to put everything else out of their hearts and minds and to be receptive to what you have for them today. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word. Use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The poor widow's mite. And if you've been in church very long, no doubt you've heard many messages preached on this poor widow's mite. Her giving of pennies was accounted for more than all the monies given by the rich. Now, this took place some 2,000 years ago when Jesus, the very Son of God, God who was manifested in the flesh, was walking on the face of the earth, impacting the world like nothing else has ever impacted the world. He took time to present to his disciples this poor widow woman and her giving of her two mites. And he said that what she gave was accounted more by God than all the monies given by the rich. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that and I think about that, I mean, my first instinct is, wow. And no doubt this would raise the eyebrows of all that heard him say this. And they would have been looking at him, looking at her giving of her two mites, and looking at all the other monies and thinking about what it costs for the expense of the house of God, what the expense of the temple, the expense of whatever it was that they had to do. And they looked at him, and no doubt in their own minds, if they didn't say it, they would have been like, really? You're telling me that her few pennies is accounted more with everything else, all the bills we have to pay and everything else going on, and you're telling me that her two pennies are accounted more than all these other monies that have been cast into the treasury? Now, as we bring that to 21st century, can I tell you that there's no business today would have the portrait of someone who gave a nickel up on display. But you walk into many businesses and they'll have the pictures, the portrait of those who finance them. And they had that on display, and they want people to see this person here and this person here, and they have different plaques, and you see it all over in businesses, and this person gives this much, and this person gives that. All that they financed us, enabling us to stay in business and do the work. And that's what we, most of humanity, would count the most. The more you give, the higher amount that you give, then that has to account for more than somebody that didn't give as much. But Jesus, being Almighty God, walking on the face of the earth, he said that this poor widow's mites was accounted for more. But what I want you to see here in chapter 12 and verse 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury. He knew what was taking place. And he went there on purpose, because he had a lesson to teach his disciples. And every lesson that he taught his disciples is what he had for all Christianity throughout these 2,000 years of Christianity, 2,000 years of New Testament Christianity. Very same lessons he wanted us to learn. And so Jesus, establishing the New Testament church, he came to establish the New Testament church. He came to far more than that. Of course, he came to pay the sin debt we all owe and couldn't pay on Calvary's cross. But we find that, as we've been studying in Sunday morning Sunday school, that God designed the church and established it through Christ. And one of the things that he was going to do while he was on this earth was to establish what Christian lifestyle is all about. He was going to establish his church, and he was going to set an example for Christianity to look to until he returns. That hasn't changed. These biblical principles that he established have not changed in these 2,000 years since Christ resurrected from the grave and went on to glory. His testimony has been written down, preserved for us in the scriptures, so that we might know what true Christianity is all about. And so we find here that he came intentionally and sat against the treasury. And these two words right here I want you to see: beheld how. He beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Jesus beheld how. Can I tell you, in doing that, it's very obvious to me, and it should be to you as well as you read this, that God is aware of how we give. Jesus beheld, or he observed, and then immediately afterwards, look down in verse 43, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them. He was there at the treasury, looking at, beholding, observing. And when this poor widow came and cast in her pennies, as he beheld how she gave, he said, all of his disciples, he brought them all, and he wanted them all to learn this biblical principle, this lesson that God would have us to learn today. Jesus observed and wanted his disciples to know, first of all, the motive for giving. The motive for giving. Why were they there in the first place? In Luke in chapter 21, we find this account given to us by Luke, and it adds just a little bit more insight into it. I love that because the Gospels help us to paint a clear picture and helps us to understand the principles that each one of these Bible stories have been preserved for us to learn from. And so we find as we look over to Luke's account, in Luke in chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, the very same account, but given to us by Luke. All of this being inspired by God, written exactly as God would have it to be written for us. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Pretty much the same. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Sounds like the very same biblical principle. For all these have of their abundance cast unto the, look at right here, the offerings of God. Now that's what was led us to believe. That's why they were there, even in Matthew's or Mark's account. But Luke here comes out and says that they're there and they're giving into the offering, this offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And so we find here that Luke just verifies to us that every one of them that was there, they were there because they were acknowledging God and they were there giving for the motive of giving to God. Now, this treasure was outside of the temple, and I'm told, and as I researched some of this, just to find out a little bit more information on this, I'm told at that time there would have been 13 trumpet-shaped collection boxes for worshipers to drop off their offerings. They were giving to God, coming to the house of God, and they had set up for them these offering boxes outside, and it was set up in a trumpet shape so they could just put it in and no one could get in there to get it, and they would possibly have different boxes for different ways to give for different causes. But they had 13 of these that would have been outside of the house of God, and they would come and they would give voluntarily, and they would give and they would place their offering in this. But in putting their offering in this collection box, it is the idea of coming to the house of God and acknowledging that God is real, and they were giving their offerings first and foremost to God through the house of God. That's a biblical principle that we have held to ever since. As the New Testament church, we bring as believers, we bring our tithes and our offerings to the storehouse or to the church that Jesus Christ established, and we put it in the offering that comes by to the church, but it's not really given to the church as much as it is giving to God. It's acknowledging God and giving to God. You give to God tithes and offerings through the house of God or through his church. And so we find here that all of those who gave, whether it be the rich or whether it be the poor, they came to the house of God and they would put in, as Jesus observed them, their motive for giving is the very same motive that all of us, rich or poor, need to have today, is their motive for giving was God. They believed that God was who he is. They believed in the creator God, and they believed it was of God's will for them to bring their tithes and their offerings to the storehouse. They believed that it was God's will for them to bring it and give it to God through his church. Now, earlier, Jesus had taught them not to give to be seen of men. In this particular passage of scripture, he reveals to us that they were giving offerings to God. So they were not giving it necessarily to be seen by men. Those that were dropping them off here, if you look back with me, let's look at what he said about them giving it to men. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus would have earlier had taught them this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. It says, take heed that you do not your alms. Alms is giving of finances. make sure that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Don't give to be seen of men. Don't look to begin, before you give, call a crowd around and say, look at me and what I'm putting into the offering plate. Look at me and see what I'm giving to the church, a storehouse. Look at me and see what I'm giving to an individual. Look to me to see what I am doing and giving to this person, that person, this cause, that cause. And God says, that's not how that the believers to give to be seen of men. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father in heaven. That's you're not rewarded by God just to be given to be seen of men. You're rewarded by God to give to God. Verse 2, he says this, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. They're giving when they were putting those type of individuals, he says, these hypocrites, they want to be seen as giving all this, but they're not really giving it to be seen of God. Whether they believe in God or not, if they're more interested in be seen of what by man, they must not know the God that I know. Because I guarantee you that being seen by God is far more important than being seen by man in what we give. Amen. Everybody following me this morning? That's what he just taught them that. He says, don't do that. He said, don't be concerned so much, so concerned about what men think. Don't be so concerned about others. And for when you get ready to give, don't blow a trumpet and don't get all the attention to show so people can see what you're able to give. He says to them before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, that's your reward. That's it. If that's what you want is be acknowledged, put your portrait up because this is what I've given to be able to see this business grow, then that's your reward for your giving. You want to put your name on something that signifies what you have given and that's why you gave it, to have your name put up, that's your reward. Enjoy it. That's all there is to it. But if you really want to be acknowledged by God, God knows what he put in your heart. God knows what he would have you to do. Give to be seen of God. Their motive. Motive for giving. Their motive was right. Those that gave much, he didn't say anything about them blowing a trumpet and being seen of men. He said they gave to the God. The treasures of God. Praise the Lord for that. They were giving to acknowledge God. And then the poor came. She didn't come to be seen of men, to have the pity, for have somebody see. All she's able to do is to give pennies. She didn't want man to see that, thinking that if they see me give pennies, maybe they'll give me dollars. That's not why she did that. The motive was for giving was, I believe, right motive for all of those. They believed in God and they knew that it was his will for them to give. Wow. Jesus taught his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you believe in me, you love me, you know I'm the Son of God, you know I'm the Savior of the world, you know I died for you. If you truly love me and acknowledge me for who I am, the way to show your love and the way to show that you believe in me, the way that to show that you acknowledge me is just do what I've asked you to do. Keep my commandments. What motivates us to give? Too many are motivated by feelings. Well, how generous do I feel today? I have had a good week and everything's gone my way. Then my feelings, I'm motivated. I'm going to put $2 in instead of a dollar. Or I might put a 20 in instead of a 10. And I might go ahead and even buy somebody's lunch. I give based on my feelings. Now, when our girls were growing up, if I gave to them based on my feelings, they would have starved to death. Amen? As a parent, I don't always feel like providing for my family when they are not doing what I possibly asked them to do or wanted them to do, whatever it might be. And I'm so glad that my parents did not feed me according to their feelings. They didn't give to me according to how I feel. Now, there was times when Dad was in a generous mood that I would take advantage of that. Now, I don't deny that. Amen. If he's giving out monies, I'm going to stand in line. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to do what, if he's in a generous mood. And some people, that's what motivates them to give. It's not the right way to give. Whether you feel like giving or not feel like giving doesn't change the reason to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I believe that Paul tells how to give by telling how not to give. You understand that? He tells how to give by telling us how not to give. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, if you was here in Sunday morning Sunday school, you would have got a little bit of this. In verse 7, it says this: every man according as he has purposed in his heart. Purposed. Didn't give by emotions. Didn't give out of pity. Didn't give out of fear. Didn't give out of feelings. He gave as a purpose. Purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So the first way to give is with purpose. And the first way not to give is without purpose. Without purpose is just how I feel. What kind of mood am I in? God says the first thing about this is we need to give according to what we have purposed in our heart. I believe every one of those had the motive of going by and putting in the money, which the rich had put in much, the poor put in little, but each one of them that went by, they were not looking to be seen of men on this particular occasion. They were looking to give to the treasuries of God. They were looking to give as God wanted them to give. Because they purposed. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, let me just read this to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, write it down. You might want to go back and look at it. But in verse 21, it says this: prove all things. Be aware why you do what you do. Prove all things. Why you believe what you believe. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Prove it. Make sure you know this is right. This is God. This is the right way to give. This is the right motive for doing what I do. And hold fast to it. Don't let your mood change how you give. Don't let any other circumstances change how you give. Purpose. I know there is a God and it is His will. And so thus, if I know that there is a God and thus I know how God would have me to give, I'm purposed in my heart to give it that way, whether I feel like it or not. Whether I've had a good week or a bad week, I purpose it. He said, not grudgingly, thinking it to be forced. Well, my wife's watching. I guess I'm going to have to write the check. Feeling like I'm going to be forced. Can I tell you that you just gave according to your wife? To be seen of your wife. There's no eternal rewards for that. There might be peace on earth, amen, but there's no eternal rewards for that. That's not, I'm not supposed to give because I am forced, because someone is going to see my tithing record. Somebody's going to know whether I'm tithing. Somebody sees what I'm giving, whatever. That's giving to be seen of man. What a blessing when I give, simply because I purpose in my heart. And it's not grudgingly, because I'm not being forced. It's of a free will. Praise the Lord. This church, you'll never get billed for a tithe or offering. Amen. It's between you and God. I don't want anyone to give to be seen of me or anyone else in this church, because I want you to have eternal rewards. Not grudgingly. First, not without purpose. Have purpose to how we give. And then not understanding is not begrudgingly, not force. And it's not out of necessity. Not out of necessity. We look at that and there's several different directions and several different thoughts, but necessary. Not out of necessity. Like having to take out the garbage. Most of us look at that as a drudgery. Most of us look at that as something that's necessary, but I'm not getting any enjoyment out of it. But it's something that's necessary. I think we may all turn that around. Many times, if I fail to take out the garbage, and the garbage truck, you hear him go by, and you just remember, oh, I forgot. And now, for the next week, there's nowhere to put it. And so the following week, I get up, and I get it out there plenty of time ahead of time, if he's on time, which normally they're not. But anyway, it's out there no matter what. And when I take it out that time, it's out of necessity, but I'm rejoicing because now I get a chance to get rid of it to make room for more garbage. We should not be tithing saying, I know it's necessary, so I'll do it. God loveth a cheerful giver. It is necessary, but that's not why I give. I give because it is a privilege that God has given to me to be able to give back to an almighty God who's given so much to me. Acknowledging God, that idea there, understand there's motive. The motive is not out of all these things. The motive has to be God. If you don't believe in God, don't. But if you do believe in God, you're limiting yourself to the blessings that God wants to bestow upon you in your joy and your happiness and your contentment by not being able to participate in a way that God allows us to participate in giving to Him. Well, we need to learn that. Motive. Jesus said, her motive. First and foremost. But now the motive was the same. They didn't do it to be seen of it. But he said, first I want you to see this. The motive. She was giving to the treasuries of God. And then the second thing. Jesus observed their sacrifice and giving. The second. Once your motive is right, make sure your motive is right. He observed their sacrifice. And that's what set them apart. That's what he was talking about. Hers was far more. Look back there with me. Mark chapter 12. I'm almost done, almost done. Mark chapter 12. Verse 44. For all they had the right motive. And they got riches. They've got rewards in heaven because they had the right motives. The other, he said, if they're doing it to be seen of men, they have nothing outside of what they get here. But when it came to the sacrifice, for all they did cast in of their abundance. But she, I love that, of her want, free will, did cast in all that she had. It's not the amount that matters most. It does matter, the motive. Praise the Lord for it, and that's where it starts. But it's not the amount after they have the right motive. Did we understand that? It's not the amount. Your two mites, your pennies make it. It makes a difference. More than anything else, it makes a difference in you. It makes a difference in your blessings. It makes a difference in your future. It makes a difference in your walk with God. It's not the amount that matters most, but the sacrifice. It's been said, giving is measured by how much a person has left. The rich, they gave abundant, praise the Lord for it, but they had a bunch left. And Jesus said, I want you to observe. He observed and he said, you have to learn this. You have to be aware of this. Motive is very important. The sacrifice is the next thing to learn. The rich gave of their abundance. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me just read to you, write it down. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writing to Timothy. He wanted Timothy to understand this, to teach others. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he says, Timothy, going to be a pastor. You need to teach your congregation this. Charge them that are rich in this world. The believers that have wealth in this world. Praise the Lord for them. But God has allowed you to be wealthy for a reason. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Same motive. Believe in a living God. Believe in a living God who has blessed you and enabled you to have what you have. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Make sure that you give as God would have you to give. They gave of their abundance. Give to God whatever He asks for. And that's what He says. Even the rich, they are to learn to give not based on what the poor give. Not to think of themselves as somebody high and mighty because I can give more than the widow that had two mites. Because Jesus said what she gave was more than what you gave. Learn that. Don't be looking around thinking that you're somebody because you can give $100 or $1,000 a week to the cause of Christ. You have a right motive, but your sacrifice is not what it ought to be, possibly. Just know that not only is your motive right, my sacrifice is sacrificing, is yielding to God and being able to give as God would have me to give, no matter what the amount. Rich gave of their abundance. And then lastly, poor widow. Now, Mark puts in there that she's poor. But not only is she poor, she's a widow. Which in though that day and time was, didn't have a husband to take care of her. Didn't have welfare. Didn't have Social Security. So she would have been destitute. She would have been living in deep poverty. Not only was she a widow, she was a poor widow. No, not only was she poor, but she was a widow. Listen to me. She had it coming in both directions. She was a poor widow, destitute, living in deep poverty. And the Bible says of her want. It was of her free will. believing that God would acknowledge her faith and dependence upon Him. Now, I believe that God put her there with that conviction so Jesus would observe her and teach this lesson to His disciples, which also is a lesson to be taught to each one of us. It was of her free will, as is ours, believing that God would acknowledge her faith in whatever it is that you would give, giving as God would have you to give, and acknowledging our dependence, not upon our finances, not upon our bankroll, but our dependence upon Him. In closing, one last verse, because I think this brings it all together. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. The motive, He's my Lord, He's God. And unto us, by the will of God. The sacrifice that God wants you to make, get that from Him. God will direct us. God knows how He's blessed. God knows what He would have us to do. If the motive is right, and we have faith in Him, the sacrifice will be right as well. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Giving. I believe He was talking of the finances there, but it's much more than finances. It's surrendering our will to God's will and living to please the Lord and being all that God would have us to be. You can't experience that if you've never experienced receiving Christ as your Savior. You do not have His indwelling. You do not have His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit to convict you and to lead you and guide you and direct you to do what God wants you to do. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, this message really didn't make much of an impact on your heart and mind. But during this message, I trust that the Spirit of God would have convicted your heart and mind concerning your need for Jesus Christ as Savior. If you die without Christ being your Savior, you'll die and go to an eternal hell where there's no hope in ever escaping. Don't let that happen. God loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, this morning is the day to be saved. Come to this altar. Let somebody take a Bible and share with you what the Bible says you must do to be saved. Then once you're saved, you're God's child. Now you can start storing up riches in heaven, eternal riches. You do that by looking to God with the right motive and the right sacrifice. What about it? Will you just surrender your will to God's will this morning? Whatever it might be, however God spoke to you. An invitation is an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to you about. Don't let this time pass you by. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. I pray that You would use it now in each one of our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, to surrender to Your will in Jesus' name. Amen.